the only reporter in Pittsburgh currently not camped outside of Jordan Addison's dorm, and that is Neil Kulong. Sir, welcome.
Yes, indeed. Thank you for having me.
So, Kenny Pickett. Okay. This would be a player everybody in Pittsburgh is familiar with, especially the Steelers. How do you feel his game translates to the NFL?
I think this is the way that I would describe Pickett, and some might accuse me of being a little bit too rose-colored with this, but what I see in him is the type of guy that the sum of his whole is greater than the sum of his parts.
Mm-hmm.
He's not going to have the strongest arm. He's not the best athlete. He doesn't have the greatest field vision, but I see a player who's good at all of those things, and the combined strength that he brings, because he doesn't really have glaring deficiencies to his game, makes him better. His floor is pretty high.
Mm-hmm.
I see him as a he's the type of quarterback, he can go out there in week one. Not that that's their plan or what they're looking to do, but he could go out there in week one and not screw up. He's good enough. He's gutsy enough. I think he plays with a certain amount of swagger that he's going to make his team competitive. And you see the players around him, the way they respond to him, the performances that he put up in Pitt's bigger games this season,
mm-hmm.
the jump that he made from 1 year to the next. These are all things you don't really measure in the same way. Now, again, you could put him up against a lot of guys in the NFL, and Pickett doesn't have that level of arm strength. He's not somebody that unlocks every inch of the field like a Justin Herbert, for example. But
right.
When you put all of it together for him, I think you have a pretty solid all-around player that it's going to sneak up on you a little bit. I like the total package that he brings. I like his all-around game. I don't think his floor is all that bad. He's not the type of player that you're worried about having a horrendous game week in and week out. It's not going to be a huge high level game, I think, all the time, although he is capable of doing that.
Mm-hmm.
I love his leadership. I love his character. He's a football guy. He's a guy that you can bet on to show up and play at a good level. And I think that's a lot of what Pittsburgh would be attracted to. I think that's what they really wanted in the next Ben Roethlisberger, so to speak. They like those heady leadership kinds of guys. And while Pickett, again, he doesn't have the greatest physical tools, there are a lot of things to like about him physically. When you add it into the intangible things, your locker room presence, your on-field demeanor, those kinds of things, I think he's a winner. And I think they're going to do pretty well with him.
You know, it's interesting, Neil, is that Mason Rudolph is there. Obviously, Mitch Trubisky is there. The difference between Trubisky and Pickett in terms of when they were drafted is there is a lot of tape on Pickett. I mean, he started for years at Pitt. And, of course, you know, the Steelers were around him any day they wanted to be around him. Trubisky only had 1 year as a starter. What do you think the balance is now in the NFL between going after younger players versus someone who has an established resume like Pickett? What do you think that balance is now?
I think we're going to find out. Here's the thing. With the quarterbacks, the quarterback position in the draft, again, the Steve Jones rule, there are two drafts here. You need a quarterback, okay? That's kind of the primary purpose of one of those two drafts. You're getting them all over the place nowadays,
and next year will prove that out, because they already
exactly.
Their mock drafts are showing as many as six could go.
Yeah, they're talking about six or seven of them in the first round.
Now,
why is that? One season doesn't dictate the other, but at the same time, look at Sam Howell, for example. What is fifth round pick, something like that? Okay, mm-hmm. Sam Howell was largely seen as a potential first round pick. Leading into, I should say, at the end of last year's draft. And part of the reason why Sam Howell didn't go is because there were five really good ones that they weren't really comfortable he was going to get drafted ahead of them. So ironically, he would have been taken probably in the 20s if he got taken in the first round. Mm-hmm. That gamble didn't work out real well for him. But it's cyclical like that. You have a bunch, yeah. then you're going to have a few. So mm-hmm. the hodgepodge that gets kind of, you know, mashed together in all of this is going to be that blend of experience plus, you know, that high-level talent. And I would say this, when you look at next year's class, I mean, for me, just a good example is Spencer Rattler. And I understand mm-hmm. what happened with Rattler at Oklahoma, but I watched that kid play, and oh my God! I mean, you're talking an enormous amount of arm talent. Mm-hmm. I don't think we've seen a quarterback with the release speed that he has. Just mm-hmm. watch the way the ball flies out of his hand.
Right.
This kid shows up; he's a top three pick in this draft. As it plays out, I mean, he might have wanted to enter anyway. I mean, it might have worked out better for him.
Right.
But now he's going to be in the meat grinder with all these other people. But to your point, Rattler has that experience now. Maybe you would have been a little bit hesitant because he got benched early on in the last season, only has kind of that one season to go on. Now he's got a little bit more adversity. He's got the opportunity to show up and show out with a different, you know, different coach, different system, different location altogether. He's somebody that could make the claim of being everything combined. But those guys that haven't played are always going to have the intrigue of the upside if they look the part. And to be honest, my opinion, that is the same thing as it is with Trubisky now. He looked far more like a quarterback than he actually played the position.
Mm-hmm.
And we're seeing that more and more. And to some degree, yeah, I you know, I'm sure Mike Tomlin would argue with me, but I'm having a real tough time figuring out what about him is not most based in his pedigree right now,
mm-hmm.
as opposed to his ability, what he has shown on the field. Because what he's shown on the field is not good.
Right.
It's very limited, not mm-hmm. in playtime, but when he was successful, there are only certain things he was doing well, and they were able to scheme it up where he could do that. They got away with probably a little bit more, but he never evolved. His game mm-hmm. never got any better, so he really mm-hmm. kind of hit a ceiling. And it sort of makes you wonder then, you know, if he had played in college, did we see more of this?
Right.
That, to me, this is the key thing to all of this, and I've argued with people that know far more about football than I do. With Kenny Pickett, is it not more impressive to say the most success that he had came at the end of all of this experience?
That's right.
He grew into it.
That's right.
Is that not better than a one-hit wonder who mm-hmm. looks the part, had some success in college, and now is entering the draft?
Right.
Or maybe a better way to put it, shouldn't Pickett get the nod over somebody like that? If we go by drafting, that's what we just saw.
See, what I think we went through a period of time with quarterbacks, and Trubisky is one of them, all right, where less is more. Boy, you see just enough the tantalizes. You know what I mean? In other words, I didn't put up so much tape where you got to see all the warts. right. And we went through that period with some guys. And we'll see. It's going to be interesting to see as time goes whether that continues to be the trend or whether guys like Pickett who stay a little bit longer, whether that's the trend. We'll have to find out. Now, I got to ask you about Pickens. This one of the single most intriguing picks to me of the entire draft was Pickens. There is no doubt to me, Neil, on the talent scale, he has got talent. And then there's a long list of other items. And he's not going exactly to what I would refer to the most mature wide receiver room in the NFL, which doesn't help him with the other items. Your thoughts?
My thought immediately was, I'll share this with you just because, I don't know, I'm immature like this, but when I saw that Chase Claypool was announcing the Steelers' second pick,
mm-hmm.
the second round started, and the thought is, for me, immediately, like, you know, everything that we talked about leading up to this, okay, great, you got a quarterback, you need a receiver now. Okay, you don't have a choice here.
Mm-hmm.
And I just naturally made the connection. Chase Claypool is about to announce the Steelers' next wide receiver that, frankly, is such a need for them because of Chase Claypool. It's almost like it was by design. But to have Claypool, and then looking at it more and more, I'm like, you know, Pickens shouldn't fall, but he's going to, isn't he? I think that might happen with the amount of them that went in the first round and who they were and who they went to. It was like, there's going to be a kind of a lull here with the receivers. Pickens is going to be on the board for the Steelers. There's no way they're going to take him. And then on top of that, Claypool is not going to be the one to announce it. This is going to set things off on an awkward note. And that room doesn't need any awkwardness now. Yeah. You've got the one guy who's blocking everybody under the sun on social media.
Yeah.
I can only think it might have something to do with his contract. I'm not sure. He won't tell you that. I'm sure he just blocked me again for suggesting it.
That is normally what happens.
Yeah. Claypool is doing whatever, celebrating after, you know, third down catches with the clock running and 2 minute drill. Adding Pickens to that. Oh boy. This has all kinds of the wrong potential about it, but at the same time, that kid, he is unbelievably talented.
He is really talented. Again, I will do not even for a second want to take away from talent. I just don't. But
I'm sure the Steelers had the exact same conversation. And it was just like, he's got this, he's got that, he's got the other thing. But wow, this kid can play. Okay, draft him, we'll figure it out. My thought, honestly, was, okay, they've got a little bit of money. There's still some room here. They still have a hole. This was before they drafted another receiver, which, you know, you might recall I suggested they needed to do because they needed a slot receiver.
Right.
Pickens wasn't going to play that. So my thought was go get an alpha in free agency, overpay him with the idea of being you need to keep these kids in charge. And I hate to say this, but my first thought was Jarvis Landry. You've got the money. He's been around for it. I don't think he's worth $10 million, but you can afford $10 million, and that's probably going to be enough to bring him in. They need a dude that's been around.
Yes.
You know, they need a guy that they can count on. Maybe Landry is the right pick for that. Somebody that I've criticized in this segment before, but they need a leader in that group.
Yes.
It's nothing to do with their talent. I'm not saying that they're all going to come in and run roughshod, but Pickens could use a little bit of a mentor, I think. You know, to be fair, he wasn't in college all that long. He didn't get to play all that much. He was hurt.
That's
He didn't do a fight with a guy in the field. All right, you know, that happens. It's not smart, but that's one of those things that really you should kind of learn from right away. It happens once. It doesn't usually happen again. You can figure out the rest of it, but there's a lot of talent there now. You know, Austin is a great receiver in his own right, somebody that victim of size. He's a bigger player. He's a top 50 guy. The film that he put down. Johnson, I like Johnson. He's a good player. I'm not suggesting he's not a leader, but you're setting a new standard within that group now. I think it might be a good idea for them to bring in a veteran with the unspoken, public unspoken, I should say, idea that he's going to be sort of the shot caller of the group. You've got to keep him in line. Help them out, mentor them, make sure that they can adjust to being professionals. Too many contracts, too many young guys coming in. It's split down the middle right now, not even counting Miles Boykin, who's also in a contract year. Mm-hmm. So that's a volatile group. I'm not sure if that's the best idea without that kind of veteran North Star there to try to keep people in line.
Right. So overall, how do you think the Steelers did with this thing?
I like it. I like it. I see pretty clearly what they're doing. DeMarvin Leal, I think, is he's a great fit for what the Steelers have been doing defensively. Yeah. I like the skill set that he has. It's very specific. I don't think that he is a three-down player for him, but I do think he is somebody who can come in and terrorize inside on passing downs.
Yeah.
He has a really unique build. He's really, really thin for a defensive tackle. and he's probably too big for a defensive end. You can move him in and around different spots. You can use him situationally. I think that's a great addition to a defensive line that they've added players to. They're looking to probably get a little bit deeper, a little bit more effective than they were last year. I mean, they kept I forgot his name off the top. Montrevious Adams. Yeah. They kept him. You're expecting to get Tyson Lulu back. Hopefully, you have Stephon Tuitt back. But Isaiah Loudermilk, I thought, played really well in for a rookie in limited opportunities last year. Cam Hayward is still there. I think they found depth along that line, and Leal can be used as kind of a situational type of player. Austin, like I said, the receiver they took in the fourth round, that kid can play. He's good inside and out. I think he's somebody that can develop into a lot. They can use for a lot of different things. Gives them good versatility at a dire position of need. They restocked a receiver room that was empty by and large, and I think they got a lot better. I think the two that they picked are within a year better than the two that they lost. So I think there's a lot of value that they brought in. It was a solid draft for 20 overall. That as you would imagine, the grade of that class is going to come down to whether or not Kenny Pickett is worth better than average ranking among NFL quarterbacks. If he can get to that point, it's a great draft. Any draft that has a quarterback that can play well for you is a great draft.
Right.
So I think it comes down to that. I don't think that Pickett's going to be their day one starter, but I think he can come in and trade some blows right away. I think he can show that he belongs out on that field. I think he's going to get better in the time that they'll have, but I would expect him at the latest to be their year two starter, which really means now Trubisky's on a one-year contract the same way that the Mason Rudolph is. And that's, I think, the direction the team needed to go.
You know, I always enjoyed talking to you. So great to have you with us. Look forward to next week as well. Thanks so much, Neil.
Definitely. Thanks for having me.